Welcome to the Eat the Evidence podcast, a show for cake and cookie decorators and sugar artists of all kinds. I'm your host, Kimberly Chapman, and this is episode number 28 on June 28th, 2018. On today's episode, I speak with Karina McGuire about her new book, The Celtic Cakers, some of her other recent projects, plus looking ahead to Cake International and stories of learning to live with our doppelgangers. So whether you're watching your buttercream melt in the summer heat, trying to figure out what you're going to make for Cake International, or sitting back after a long, sweltering week of decorating, let's get this show started to inspire and educate you on your sugar arts journey. Joining me now is the massively incredible Karina McGuire of Lovin' from the Oven in, hopefully I say this right, Oranmore, Ireland?
Yeah, that's the one. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I am well. This is already an amazing interview.
See, there you go. You are incredible, and you've done this Incredibles thing that we at some point need to talk about. And I'm also checking that I'm getting pronunciations right after talking to Ree last week and just completely mangling every Welsh word.
The best one was she bought one of our Celtic Cakers book, and she asked Paul to sign it, and he tried to spell her name, writing it down and like crossing out each one, and finally he just said R. Enjoy the book.
I said to her, I'm super Canadian, and I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce all these Welsh double D things.
Just mumble it. Correct.
Well, she saved me. She said, it's Ree. It's just Ree. It's fine.
Ree. That's it.
Yeah.
She's funny.
So what we should talk about, why don't you start with the book? Because that is super cool.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm a graphic designer, right? I've been a graphic designer, self-employed for years and years and years. And it was always in the back of my head to do a book, but I didn't want to be, I'm not sure if I'd have enough content myself to actually put one together. But on the way home from Cake International, we rented a van with me, Tanya Ross from Novelty Cakes, and Paul Redmond from Purple Feather. And in the van on the way back, we just got chatting and stuff. And I was mentioning about how I was thinking of doing a book, and, you know, and then we were just talking about how incredible all the Irish did and how well they did over there and stuff. And I got to thinking about, wouldn't it be cool to actually do one together and to actually feature some of this Irish talent, you know? So that's how it started. Yeah, from November. And then I finally started working on it in February, probably early February. And it was a very, very, very busy few months. And there you go. It's out. And I'm really proud of it, I have to say. So we try to keep it as varied as possible. So there's a bit of everything in it. There's like structured cakes and carved cakes and realistic stuff and loads of different techniques on facial expressions. We have a bit of gelatin in there and some royalized cookies and just... We try to touch on absolutely everything, you know, it's even sugar flowers and stuff like that. So it's a little bit of everything. It's kind of a go-to I was trying to aim it for, with loads of tips and tricks and stuff, all the usual, but it's something a bit different where it's not just one technique and one style and one person. It's just like a big group effort, it's doing really well.
Well, that's great.
So I'm thrilled.
Well, that's very cool. I have to apologize. I haven't actually got a copy yet because I know we were talking about it before the launch. And then all of a sudden I checked my calendar this week and I was like, oh God, I'm talking to her this week and I'm so busy. So I will be buying it, but I haven't done, and we will make sure the link is in the show notes because it's on Amazon and such, right?
On Amazon. In Ireland so far, it's available in Stuffer Cakes and in Deco Bake, and around Galway where I am, it's available in couple of shops, actual shops, and it's going to be going up to Caledon in the north and over to Dublin, and I've yet to talk to anybody over in England. So, but yeah, I want it actually available in store, you know, so people can go in and actually look at it,
right,
and order it. But abroad, yeah, it's available. The funny thing is, like, I'm Canadian, right?
Right.
As you know. But because I self-published it, it's not actually easy to get in Canada. You have to actually go, like, there's a .ca, an Amazon.ca, but you can't actually get it on the .ca. It's only available on the .com, which I thought was quite funny. It's like, I'm actually Canadian, so my whole family and stuff had to go onto the American site to order it, but it's fine. It's just...
Yeah, but then there's the whole, I mean, again, being Canadian and having ordered from the U.S., you never know what kind of customs charge you're going to suddenly get.
Yeah. Actually, I should ask my family and just double check and do a post about that. That's a good point. I will write that down.
Cool. But, and again, like, because I've been both traditionally published for fiction and self-published. And yeah, dealing with Amazon is a bit of a nightmare because they want you to do that whole, the Kindle Select thing, which gives them a lot of exclusivity, which, I mean, most of my book sales are through Amazon, but not all, because I have some friends who don't like Amazon or live in countries where there isn't an Amazon. So I have, like, a Smashwords thing as well, which frankly pays me better. But then trying to play them both, it's really tricky to try and get it available everywhere in a way that suits all your readers.
It seems to be okay. Like, we've got people even in Australia buying it and stuff. It just takes a bit more time and money. But yeah, it's kind of a quick way to make it accessible to everywhere as opposed to actually shipping out books and all the rest, you know.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Everybody knows Amazon. So anyway, it's working for us and it's doing well. So thrilled.
Yay. So, okay. So what, I don't know if we've said, what is the actual title?
The actual title is The Celtic Cakers, right?
Right.
And I know some people are like, well, Celtic is actually, you know, it can be Scottish and blah, 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 whatever. So, but it's not wrong, right? No, it's still Irish, so.
Well, pedants, you know, pedants. Like,
hate is be hating.
That's right. The other big thing that we just had touched on that I saw in your post, I was when I was compiling all the thing for the previous podcast, because it does this thing where it takes forever for the file to convert to an MP3. So I was like, fine, I'll look at Facebook for a minute. And then I stumbled on your Incredibles thing, which is incredible. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, I had fun with that one. That was awesome. Yeah, so this Incredibles one is the brainchild of Kylie Mangles from Canada. She's Letterpress Bakery and from Sugar Sugar, Amanda Lee from Sugar Sugar in Australia. They came up with the idea because they do like YouTube tutorials and stuff like that and Instagram, big Instagrammers. They asked, it was just a few of us. It was a small group, but they wanted us to do videos with it. So I haven't really, I will, but I haven't really done much for video tutorials. But so I did my time lapse thing now, but it was great crack. And it timed out perfectly because my son was actually turning 6 exactly the day that they were wanting the video. So I was like, brilliant. 2 birds, 1 stone.
Yeah.
So I just said, Cormac, what do you want for your birthday cake? How about Dash? He's like, okay. It's so easy going, thank God. So so it worked out perfect. But I have to say that was the most complicated structure I have ever worked on. Because it was at an angle. It had to hold cake. It had to, you know, it had to feed 14 kids. So I had to actually really, really put some time and effort into that. It took a few tries to get it, but I'm really happy with the outcome anyway. It was great crack.
You nailed the face. It was perfect. Like, it totally was Dash. It was 100% Dash.
Well, I like I was saying before, I'm a graphic designer, so I use Illustrator, and I actually, like, measure every single bit so that I can try to get it as close to the actual measurements of the pictures as possible. So that's what I did. It's a bit time consuming, but your end results, you don't have to. I did have to do a bit, like, you'll see on the actual time lapse video that his head, I had measured it out, but I had measured wrong. God forbid that happens. But I measured wrong, and I had to bulk it out. So I used the top, you know, the top of the cake.
Yep.
That you cut off so that it's nice and flat. So I used a bit of that, and I wrapped it around his head to bulk it up because it wasn't wide enough the first time. But yeah. It worked out, and the party, they just went lunatic. They were just like 14, well, I had 11 little boys who just went mental for it. It's like, don't touch the cake, don't touch the cake. But they loved it anyway. Yeah, they kept coming back for, there was one kid who wasn't a big fan of the fondant, but besides him, everybody scoffed it back, like, so it was gone. I have some photos of that as well, I'll send.
That's awesome.
Photos out later on.
I watched the video. When you put the extra cake on, I just assumed that was the plan all along, so.
Oh, yeah, totally. Edit that bit out. And that, yeah, no, that's exactly what I meant to do. gives it a really nice smooth surface to work with. How about that?
Yes. Good? Yeah. No, it's totally, you meant to do that. Yeah. I thought it was so cool with a structure because so frequently people cakes are the cake is in the chest and the head is the Rice Krispies, but because the Incredibles are so long and skinny, you basically reverse that, and that was really cool.
Yeah, well, he's probably the portliest of all of the Incredibles, other than his dad, but they've all got gigantic heads, so yeah. I figured that was the best cake possibility.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah, traveling with it was the interesting part, so I had my husband drive the car, and I had to, because it was good ways away, it was in the next town, so I just got some cling film and had him on my lap and held him up with the cling film so that he wouldn't be bouncing up and down too much, you know. It was pretty sturdy. It was like threaded rod. It was quite thick, threaded rod holding them up, but still dodgy. Slow on the turns, slow on the turns.
I keep thinking, because I have one of those Innovative Sugar Works, you know, cake on board magnets, and I never know where it is when I need it. But I don't drive a lot.
I need a new one. But, yeah, there's got to be some explanation for why you're driving so slow.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Cake on board doesn't actually explain to the cake muggles who don't understand why I'm taking this turn so slowly.
There should be a sign saying, I drive like I'm 90 because I have cake on board.
That's
that
right.
Be better. Yeah.
But we need a great big sign with a huge text that explains, well, see, inside the structure, every time it wiggles, it's cutting through the cake like a knife. So by taking it really slowly, I'm minimizing it. And the person's like, just beep, beep, get out of my way.
Just have a speaker on top of the car explaining it constantly.
Or like some kind of free cake leaving behind you so that everyone will stop and eat the free cake and then leave you alone. What could go wrong?
Little scraps out the back.
That's
little,
right.
Phew. Little assembly line.
Everybody would love that. Nothing could go wrong with that plan.
Yeah.
These days, the furthest I drive a cake is to Cake International, but I'm actually really lucky now that, because there was some construction on the highway between here and NEC for me, but now it's finished. So I have my little bumpy street and a couple turns to get out of my little bumpy neighborhood. And then I'm on Huntingdon Road, which is the road that leads right into the A14, which is the road. And once I'm on the A14, it's all highway, even just, you know, cruising straight up the ramps right into Cake International. Like, it's almost all straight.
I don't, we have the humidity on the ferry to worry about as well. So whenever we drive over, so we had serious trouble. Tanya had bad trouble with hers one time, but she still won a gold, even though there was damage done to it. But it was the humidity on the ferry is just desperate, especially working with modeling chocolate and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But I do like this. I call it a cake seatbelt. I should patent it, really. But so I just get a really tall box and I poke holes through it. And then I weave inside through the box. I weave all the cling film so that it's like supporting all sides.
Right.
If you get me, can you visualize that? It's kind of like a spider web inside of the box, you know?
Right.
So it just holds everything in. So there's nothing. My cake seatbelt, I'm patenting that.
You should totally, or at least blog it somewhere.
I should take a photo of it sometime. But usually you can't take the photos because you can't have any photos before you send it off, you know?
Right, exactly.
So I usually don't.
I'm way, way behind on a blog post myself because I had promised people from the Austin show, so that was end of February, that I would, because they all wanted to know how I got my moving Da Vinci cookie thing, to Heathrow and then on a 10-hour flight from Heathrow and then, you know, through Austin. And I did it by basically, getting foam core and constructing a box, partly by using some instructions that Mary Seneca sent me from an old ISIS person. ICs. We have to say ICs, not ISIS. I said to my friends recently that I'd been asked to possibly do something for ISIS, and they all looked at me like, what? ICs. I will start saying it. Anyway.
There was some Canadian guy was talking to me before, and he was saying that he went through security and customs and stuff, and I said, what is your purpose of your visit? He says, I'm going to an ISIS convention. Nice.
Yeah. That's why I have all these sharp cake tools. Oh, no, why are you arresting me?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, analyzing his luggage isn't going to help matters. Yeah.
No, I know. The weird things I've had to explain to mostly TSA, I find Heathrow doesn't care. Heathrow just does not care.
Yeah, they've seen everything.
Yeah.
I love traveling with cakes, though, because they're always interested. You know, I usually like to leave a window so that they won't touch it. But what was the last one? Oh, I was bringing over my Angel of Death over to Germany for the German show. It was going through the X-ray, and, you know, like when one piece of luggage moves forward, it bumped into it.
Yeah.
And it was like really tall and thin, and it tipped over. And I almost like jumped through the security past the guards going, "Put it back up." This is incredibly important. Like, stand behind the line.
Yeah, exactly. My piece 2 years ago, the sewing machine cookie. It was a good thing I'd really over-engineered that packing box, because, yeah, these were security there, put it on its, like, I had it in my bag, and then they tipped my bag on its side to go through, which it doesn't need to do. It's actually kind of square, like, well, rectangular, but, like, on the, you know, those dimensions, it's effectively square, so they didn't gain anything by tipping it over. But as I saw it, like, from the other side, I could see it coming through that way. I was like, must not leap at them, must, oh my god. And then I got it and it was fine, but like only because I had super over engineered it.
Yeah, mine look dodgy as hell, like seriously. I can never find a box, and it's always the last thing, and I'm never prepared, so it's always the very last thing the night before I'm flying or traveling or whatever, that I'm actually boxing it up and going, oh funny, that I don't have a box that size. So I usually have like a Frankenbox style, where it's like four different boxes all kind of joined together with loads of duct tape and stuff. They're not the prettiest things, but they're functional. But yeah, you'd think that those ones would actually be like pulled aside as if like this has drugs in it or something or whatever, but they're totally fine. I had to laugh that they let this, one of the worst boxes I've ever made, they let it through, no bother, and then they checked my jacket. I was like, why my jacket? Seriously.
Because
and
drug
traffickers. Maybe I look dodgy, you know.
Yeah, because actual drug traffickers are classier than us.
Yeah, it's too obvious if it's us. Like,
that's right. Oh, but even this box that I made for the Da Vinci cookie this year, I labeled it on all four sides, do not tip. I was pretty sure it could be fine if it tipped, again, because I over-engineered it, but I didn't want them to. And as I'm putting it on, and again, I had measured it, I knew it would fit, like, standing upright. Then the security lady said, can you tip it over? Like, she pointed right to the word that says do not tip, and says, but can you tip it over? And I said, was like, no. But I did the top plexiglass so she could look at it and see that it was like a cookie that would, bad things would happen. So they let it go through. And of course it was fine because it was engineered to fit under a British Airways seat, which means it definitely fits their X-ray.
Yeah. No need to tip them. Yeah. It's dodgy as hell traveling with cakes though, isn't it? Or cookies or whatever.
Oh, the horror stories I've heard.
I've heard some horror stories as well. Yeah. Who is it? Isabel Tamargo. She did that eagle one time and shipped it from Spain to CI, and it was just like crumbles on the bottom of the box by the time she got it. I couldn't do it. I think she shipped two that year and both of them were ruined.
Oh, that's awful.
I wouldn't ship a cake now. I don't think I could do that.
So you're putting it on a ferry in your car. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. So I drive from Galway, which is the other side of the country, across the country, pick up Tanya, pick up Paul in Dublin, and then ferry over, and then we drive to CI. But it's a bit of crack. It's a long journey now, but it's a bit of crack. It's nice.
Yeah.
Which is fun, not drugs.
Well, see, there you go. It's all back to the drugs.
Back to the drugs.
But yeah, sometimes it's worth it to maintain control. Like, more work to maintain control is sometimes less stress.
What do you mean? Say that again.
If you do more work, like, because you're doing a lot more work, doing all that driving and ferrying, but you're maintaining control, and sometimes that the net gain there is that you have less stress because
that's
you're
true.
Retaining control.
Yeah. It's not in somebody else's hands. That's true.
Yeah. I mean, this is why some people from Texas drive to SoFlo. I mean, even though, I mean, that's a huge distance. Like, that's great. Oh, like, gosh. Days.
Yeah.
But
have you been to SoFlo?
I haven't been to SoFlo yet, no. Have you?
Yeah, that's one that's on my brain. No, I'm thinking. I was at America's Cake Fair last year now, where I did the showpiece with Avalon. That was fun. And if Avalon is listening right now, I want to do it again. But SoFlo is on my brain, though. I'd like to do that. I think so.
Yeah.
We'll see if it can actually be financially possible, but we'll see.
That's exactly the problem for me because, yeah, I mean, I go back to Austin every year, but part of the deal was once I knew I was staying here, I said, guys, it costs about £800, which at the time was like, you know, $1,200 at least, for me to fly back. Like, I can't pay to volunteer. Like, sorry, that's like a lot of money. And so they said, well, you've wanted to teach kids classes all this time. What if we let you teach some kid classes and like you get a chunk of the total? And so that's what we do now. And so it doesn't pay for the Air Force. I still am spending money, but it's spending now the equivalent of the money that I spend for CI, which is just like there, I'm just paying basically the hotel bill. Right. And I stay at Kata's house. So I'm not staying in a hotel in Austin. So, you know, I'm still spending about half that airfare, but it's at least then making it like, okay, I can justify this. But for SoFlo, yeah, it'd be the same thing, or it'll be more expensive.
Yeah.
And I think doesn't SoFlo end up on a half term, a British half term? Anything that ends up on a British half term, the price is doubled for everything.
I think it's the 27th, 28th of April this year, or next year rather. But that's the problem as well, as like I went to the German show last year, and that was brilliant. That was absolutely fantastic. We were just like so welcome there. Milka and Caroline and everybody, they were just so welcoming and took us under their wing completely. It was fantastic. So I would love to go to that one, but that's the following weekend. And then 2 weeks before, I'm doing the cake retreat up north with Emma Stewart, because the last one that we did was like a huge success. So this one's going ahead. It's already selling loads of tickets, and people who had actually taken it before are coming back. But so I'm not sure that's a lot. Well, my kids are just 9 and 6.
Yeah. See, yeah, that's part of it. Mine are 12 and 5, and the 5-year-old doesn't sleep through the night yet. And so, I mean, to some extent, you know, my husband with the actual paying job, financing all my cake stuff, basically, that's all well and good.
Yeah, I know.
But if he has to take time off work repeatedly just so I can do cake shows, you know, I mean, he hasn't said no. I want to make this really clear. He has not said, no, I don't want to be left alone with the kids. He's their father. It's not babysitting when you're parenting, right? Like, I just get that right out of the way.
Yeah.
This notion that, oh, dad has to babysit. No, dad can parent, actually. So he knows that. Like, we're good on that. But it's more, I start to feel like, well, I really don't want to. It's what if I was being paid? Like, he obviously leaves me alone with the kids all the time, but he's being paid. He's making quite a lot of money on his work trips. My work trips cost money, so I have to really justify every single one.
Yeah, the Oklahoma one, that would be another one that I'd want to go to.
Oh, yeah.
That one looks like it's gotten insane. It looks like you'd actually have to have a personal jet to bring back all of the stuff that you win from that, assuming I win.
Well... Yeah, but it's you, so you would. I've seen your work.
Yeah.
Well, that's when I first met.
I'd be tempted, though. That'd be a good one to go to.
Yeah, that would be. I mean, yeah. And that's the thing. The U.S. shows, you get way more swag. Here, it's just prestige, which prestige
just
is great.
Distance,
but...
And like you're saying, the cost of actually going to these things as well is like far greater than popping over to CI, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, like, I'd never gone to CI when I lived in the U.S., because then that's the expensive way. But...
Yeah, exactly. This CI will be fun. Actually, we've got some Canadians coming over for us. They're going to be staying with us. So, yeah, we're sharing a house with Heather McGrath and Kelly El-Kadri. So they're popping over for this one as well. So we get to introduce them to the whole CI experience, which will be fun. I'm looking forward to that.
That's cool. Are you competing?
What were you saying?
Oh, just...
Oh, yeah. So, at CI?
Yeah.
I'll have to compete, big time. Which will probably happen anyway, because you run out of time. It's like, oh, no, I can't do it. So, I'm not sure. So anyway, that's okay. That's okay. Because I've had a few empty stickers on those tables before, which is sad.
Yeah.
But you procrasticate and then end up with no time to do anything then, eventually.
Yeah, although...
As we do.
Ree was just saying in her thing that she started one of her entries the night before, like 8 o'clock the night before, and then just to have something to put down on the table. And I was like, I bet you got a gold, didn't you? And she's like, yeah, I did. I'm like, yeah, you did. Yeah, you did.
That happened to me with you. I did the Crowfoot, the big Native American guy.
Right.
He was like a life-size bust. with a full headdress and everything. But I had spent about 3 weeks on that guy. And then after the 3 weeks, I found out that, like, he was near completion. And then I found out that the structure that I was using inside might not actually be allowed.
Ooh.
And then it would be disqualified. I'm like, are you kidding me? I've spent 3 weeks working on this guy to have nothing. So I said, well, okay, well, I've entered two categories. I'll do the second category, which I wasn't going to do, which was cake topper. So I did a fox. I did my fox in 2 days, and he was my backup plan. But I ended up winning best in class with both of them. I was like, was bawling, crying.
Well, because you're awesome.
It was funny, but...
Your stuff is just so amazing.
Stop.
No, it is. When I actually met you in person was when you were we were packing up after CI, and it was your harp that you were packing up. And I had just been staring
That's
at
right.
that thing. That was oh, God.
Yeah, and I was desperately trying to pack up the boxes with cling film because it was raining outside.
That's right.
To my rescue.
Because I saw you packing it, and it had just started pouring, and I put mine in the car, and I had the cling film in my hand, and I thought, oh, I wonder if she has any cling film. And so I came back to give it to you, and then I saw you cling film. And I'm like, of course she's cling filming it. She's a professional in, you know, this whole wet area that we live. She knew what she was doing. But I did come behind to offer you some in case you hadn't had any.
Yeah, I think somebody came before you and just handed me, felt sorry for me to figure it out. And it handed me some cling film. I'm such a twit. It's fine, though.
Well, it was also at the end.
I'm doing it, anyway.
You'd already got your gold.
Yeah, sir. Could get wet at that point. I don't mind. Actually, I still have that one, though. It's up in the office, yeah. I don't keep too many of my cakes, but there's a few I still have lying around the place.
Well, part of why I got into this was because I was in ceramics and our house was getting full, so I started making cakes. It was destructible art that would go away.
See, that's smart. That's good. Because, yeah, I don't have a lot of storage space either. Yeah, that's a good... I'm going to tell people that I'm going to steal that now. That's going to be my reason.
Yeah.
Now that I never did ceramics, but it's still going to be my reason.
Well, especially because, the cake muggles who say things like, oh, I couldn't possibly eat it. I couldn't possibly cut it up. And you're like, no, please, because that's what it's for.
Yeah, I know.
When it's a real cake.
I do have a couple that are real cake. Most of them are just for collaborations and stuff. So it's pretty much just like foam, tinfoil, stuffing,
yeah.
Whatever, you know, that kind of thing. But there's like a couple of real cake ones. But eventually they just start sagging in the center and get really sad looking. So they have to go. I'm amazed at how long they actually...
Yeah, wouldn't they get all funky
erect?
Inside?
No, I wouldn't be eating it now or anything.
Well,
else.
Yeah.
It's like the sheep from my book, I did that months and months ago, but he's still upright. So as soon as he starts sagging, I think I'll throw it out. But there's proper cake inside those.
Wow, like what, like a sponge? Yeah. Or is it like some alcohol-soaked cake that's sitting there?
No, it's a sponge cake inside of it. Yeah, he's like 3 months old, I'd say.
Wow, because I would just expect that to
I used to teach a Gruffalo class, and in one of the shops, they kept him, like, on display. And he was a real, real cake, like. And eventually, he just started losing weight. He wasn't so plump as he was before. He just started going concave, like. But the sheep is, my sheep from the book is still, he's still buying. He's still good.
I have in my storage room here, because I have my Austin show cakes. We had them packed up when we moved our stuff over here, but we actually haven't opened the boxes because like it was one of those things, it was low priority. So it's at the back corner of the storage room behind all that stuff that had so much priority. And I'm so busy. We keep saying we should actually open the boxes because if they're destroyed, why are we taking up space with them? Right. But it's one of those, house is not like we're renting. So like, is it even worth taking them out? Cause we'd like to buy, but then we look at Cambridge prices and we're not buying anytime soon. And so it's one, like, I have no idea. It's like a Schrodinger's cake in there. I have no idea if it's alive or not.
Okay, whatever you're doing right now, whether it's actually working on a project, or if you're washing up, or you're stuck in traffic, whatever you've got going on, take a deep breath. Everything's going to be okay, because you're awesome.
Would you do anything for anyone? Or are you sponsored?
No, I'm not sponsored at all by anyone.
Are
I mean, I have friends.
No.
Like, like, I'm friends with the Innovative Sugar Works people, so I do like some product testing with them or reviews. So Dominic from Marvelous Molds has sent me some molds to review, but not like everything, or I still also have bought stuff from him. But part of it is because I'm not doing the volume that a lot of the sponsoring entities would want, because now my time is being taken up with the podcast and the companies don't seem to see the value of the podcast.
Right. They want the visuals.
Right. So right now, officially, what I've been saying is until I get to 1,000 listeners, which I'm nowhere close to. I mean, Abby Jimenez was on talking about Vigeode cakes, and because she has that huge following, that episode, when I checked yesterday, has had 585 listens. That's by far the record. So I can't.
Oh, we'll totally get 1,000 today.
Okay, we're gonna get 1,000 today. But so the normal episodes get like about 300 at this point, 200 to 300 over weeks. Yeah. And so in terms of podcast advertising, you can't really. I mean, all the advertising structure that's out there, it doesn't even start till the 1,000 listener mark. So what I've been saying is, hey, cake brands, hey, people who have a thing to sell, come on my show, even just leave me Facebook voicemail, which is totally free, and say, we have a new line of fondant coming out. We have a new line of molds coming out. We have this brand new product that does this thing. And for absolutely free, I will put that on the air. And you know what?
Yeah.
Almost none of them take me up on it. And I've actually even had a couple brands say, no, that's not worth our time. And I'm like, it's not worth your time to leave me a 1-minute voicemail.
Actually, you asked me to do that for the Kelty Cakers, and I never got around to it, actually. I should do that for you.
Well, that's what I think, because we decided we would do this full interview. That's why. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But you could, like, if you want to also leave me a separate thing, I will air it episode after episode. Like, I need little interstitials to break up the interviews. And so anyone listening right now, if you have a book, if you have, I mean, classes and stuff aren't as good because sometimes people don't listen for a couple months. Right. But if you're constant classes, like again, talking to Ree, she's teaching 6 classes a week. So if you're out there,
is she really?
I know, isn't that amazing? And
that's amazing.
I know. I'm tired just thinking about it. But yeah, anyone who's doing anything regular like that, or if you have a thing for sale, it is as easy and free as leaving me a Facebook voicemail. It stops after 1 minute, but you can leave me multiple messages. I can edit them together. If you flub, I edit it out. I fix it. You know, no problem. Totally 100% free in perpetuity. And then when people go back, because people keep telling me, oh, I just found your podcast. Now I'm going back to episode 1 and listening all the way through. I hear that like once a week at least. And so, and that's the people who bother to tell me. So there's this free value out there. And when I had Michelle Green on, we were talking about, sponsorship and business of baking and stuff, because that's obviously her thing. She said, no, they'll all come to you when you charge them. And I'm like, yeah, they will. Okay. Because, well, she's seen the same thing in the business stuff that she does, that there's a perceived no value to free, even when there is a value to free. But as soon as you charge someone, there's a perceived, and this happens with our cakes too, right?
People. Yeah, that's true. Yep.
Yeah,
they don't appreciate it if they didn't pay for it.
Are you actually selling cakes often? Or?
I see. This is it now. Now I live on the west coast of Ireland in a small village, right? And I'm right next to Galway, which is like it's real arts orientated, lots of hippies. But so the detail that I love going into with my cakes. It doesn't pay. It doesn't pay, and I can't charge what it needs to be, right? So I kind of had to make a decision a while ago was that I could reduce the quality and the time that I actually spend on the detail of my cakes and just whip them out but and then I said, okay, I'll charge a little bit more, weed out the smaller priced cakes and just, get fewer cakes for whatever. But then I started teaching. I love that. Absolutely love that. And I love just hanging out and getting to know everybody and all the rest and watching people actually be proud of their results and come back to me like months later. And I've been practicing and, you see the improvement that they've, anyway, so that's kind of where I decided to stop doing cakes. Now I just do them for friends and family right now and for larger events, but for orders, no, I kind of stopped doing that. So it's sad, but I kind of have to focus a bit better on where I want to be. So next week I'm going to be putting together my classes. I have my locations, some of them sorted already, which is quite funny, but I don't have the actual classes themselves. So I'm putting those together over the next couple of weeks before the kids get out of school.
Right.
And then we'll hopefully have them up and advertised. But yeah, as for the cake orders, no, I'm not in a location where people can spend the money in order for me to make a profit on them.
Yeah.
Long story short, bought lots of waffle there. Sorry.
No, because it's the same thing. I've said at least six times on the show now that living in Cambridge, I actually Googled last night when I was editing Reese's thing because I had said the same thing to her. That, like, how many cake sellers are there in Cambridge? I found two. And that's about a saturated market here because, Cambridge is Cambridge. It's super prestigious. Everyone's heard of it because of the university. But you know what? Students don't buy cakes. And
yeah, there's that.
Yeah, the corporations that exist here, there are satellite offices to their London offices. So if they're going to have a big corporate event, they're going to do it in their London office. They're not doing it in their Cambridge office. And obviously there are weddings and stuff here, but they're not high-end, expensive. If you're going to have a massive wedding where you're spending redonkulous amounts of money, you're probably actually not doing it in Cambridge because the venues don't exist. You're probably going to North London.
Right.
So then you're looking for a baker.
I'm not a big fan. I don't like doing wedding cakes so much.
I'm not a wedding person.
Obviously. Looking at my cakes, I think you'll understand. But I prefer the sculpted stuff, the kind of like structured alternative. So if it was an alternative wedding cake, I'd consider it, but
yeah,
but it's not my style, it's not my shtick.
Yeah. I would love for a friend to order like a gay rainbow cake just because I want to make a rainbow cake. But none of my friends who are getting married have money either. And, I've kind of over the years, it took some very non-Canadian pushing, if you know what I mean, like really being vocal back about, could you please stop asking me for free stuff? Because they see me donate free stuff to WI and to, Women's Industry stuff or other charities or our bake sales. And then they come to me and they want like a free cake that they've seen on Pinterest, like something massive, and they want it for free. And I'm like, that's a lot of work. And if it's a client cake, I'm going to put in hours and hours, where the free cakes are me experimenting. So could you not?
Yeah. What I do with my, I've been making my friend's cake, her son, every year. So it's a tradition now at this point, and I get to have fun with it. She kind of gives me free rein and stuff, but she still pays for my costs. I give her the cake for free as the kid's birthday,
right,
his present, but my time rather, but, yeah, but they still pay for the materials themselves. So there's free and then there's free, but I love charity cakes. Absolutely. I do one for a hospice here every year, and I there's a Bake-A-Wish Foundation in Ireland.
Oh, good.
And but where I am, like, the children's hospital is out in Dublin, so it's the other side of the country, so I don't get very many calls, but I've had two so far, and my favorite one ever was the Gruffalo. Did you see that one?
Yes.
It was for a little boy called Alistair. And the phone call that I got was very strange. She's like, listen, Alistair's blind, right? He's fairly like deaf as well, and he loves the Gruffalo. So what he does is they put the Gruffalo audiobook on, and he puts it behind his head so that he can hear it better, and he listens to it, but the smile on his face, they actually showed me, and they got him to listen to it, and the smile on his face, and he's just giggling away and stuff. So I decided to do the Gruffalo cake for free, but she said, well, it's more for the brothers, because he's blind. So, but I wanted him to enjoy it as well. So I made it as textural as possible, because if you know the story, it's like he's got the purple prickles all over his back and a wart on the end of his nose and all this. So it could be a tactile kind of thing.
Right.
So I made it like that, but they sent me a photo. Oh my God, I started bawling because they actually had him up on the table and you could see him just like concentrating and feeling every little part of the cake. I'm sure he washed his hands beforehand. But, you know, but it was just beautiful. But I have all the time in the world for doing charity cakes. I think if that's as little as I can do, you know, I don't have loads of money to give charities or whatever, but this is something that I can do, then that's what should be done. And I think everybody should be doing it.
Yeah, well, it's an opportunity to push yourself again, because they're just so happy with any result that it gives you that opportunity to try that new thing and try. I mean, I did so many Make-A-Wish Austin cakes, and I volunteer taught Make-A-Wish Austin volunteers. And there's also Icing Smiles out there. So Make-A-Wish out there is you know, kids in shelters, and Icing Smiles is kids in hospital. That's in the U.S. And I know there are some things here in England, but like, they seem to be smaller and a little more like it's their own little community of cakers. And so like when I've come around sniffing, they're like, well, you have to jump through these hoops first. I'm like, okay, later.
Yeah.
Later.
Well, I don't know about there, but the Irish one, the only requirement is that you're health and safety approved, which I am. But besides that, they're constantly looking for people to do it, especially to get everybody from all corners of the country as well, because they might have harder time finding cakers in certain areas and stuff. Dublin, I think they're fairly sorted, but anyway, the reaction that you actually get from the kids and stuff, that's the best payment of all.
Right. Well, with
sounds cheesy, but
I can imagine, but I have to imagine, because the Make-A-Wish stuff that I did in Austin, because it was kids in shelters, child protective services and stuff was this big wall in between, so you just drop your cake off. Like there's the procedure was Make-A-Wish would have this spreadsheet of, you know, a 14-year-old girl in North Austin would like a Barbie cake, and you know, a 6-year-old girl in South Austin wants Transformers or whatever it is. And if there, then if the spreadsheet would say, you know, that it had to be a diabetic cake or no nuts or whatever, or, you know, Pink Princess or whatever, it would give you all the information. And then you would say, yes, I want to do this one. And then you would drive that cake to that facility. It was usually a shelter or a group home or some kind of, you know, charitable thing like that. And there's security, like they have to, security, you know, lets you through the gate. There's cameras everywhere. And you drop this off at the front desk, and the people are very gracious, but the procedure is very harsh because they're protecting these kids from an abuser who may be trying to kill them. So
that's totally understandable. I know so it's you a bit never, more personal, but at least there's some value there still.
Yeah, so you never get to meet them. Good. And sometimes you get a feedback through this whole steps that someone will say, oh, they got back to us and said that the little girl really loved her cake, or the boy cried because he was so happy. And so you kind of just have to imagine it. But I think Icing Smiles
might be
different.
Yeah, I can understand that side of it, though.
Yeah. But, you know, having been, you know, a survivor of abuse myself, who I was never in shelters, but that's part of why it really gets my heart to do cakes. You know, when I heard the Make-A-Wish story of the woman in the U.S. who started that group, was because she had a foster kid who was turning, I don't know, 7 or 8, and she'd made her a very simple cake with little pink flowers on it, and when the girl saw this, she burst into tears, and the foster mom had thought, oh, what have I done? What, like, have I crossed a trigger line? Why is she crying? And then the little girl said, I didn't think I was worth a cake. Oh my god. I know.
Start welling up now. Oh,
I know. So like, if anything will get you to make a cake for kids in the system, when they don't think they're worth a cake. And it's like, what? No.
It's good to pay it forward and all the rest.
Exactly. And it's such an honor. You feel so good. It's, it's the best thing.
Honestly. Yeah. It's payment in itself. Absolutely.
That's right. It's such an opportunity to experiment and to really push and try things, because you feel like when you're doing the work for, if you're doing work towards a competition cake that you're not sure is going to do well, you do get that voice in the back of your head going, why am I bothering? But when you're doing a cake that's going to a kid in such a dire situation, it really feels like every little dot on this Lego cake is worthwhile. Every little part of this transformer is so important, and it's so rewarding.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. I'm glad they're there.
Yes.
The people that organized them are fantastic saints.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've thought about that here, because clearly I haven't, like I said, I haven't really done much of that here. And I thought, oh, maybe I should organize one. I'm like, in what free time will I do that?
I know. God, I'm with you there. Jesus. Like, I still do graphic design. I'm still like, so between being at home with the kids, collecting, dropping off, all their after school activities, swimming and everything, and then trying to fit the cakes in, and then trying to fit like the Celtic Cakers in, because I have to constantly try to promote it and stock all the shops and stuff, and pushing it into new ones. And then like, oh, I'm, some weeks it's just insanity. But those people that do like 15 cakes in a week or something, I just like bow down to them. I do not know how they do it. Actually, one of the girls in my book, she doesn't do like piles of cakes, but she still does them. But she has triplets.
Oh my God.
Triplet girls.
Jeez.
Yeah, I actually had to include a picture of her with her girls in the book, because it was just like, I just need people to realize, you know, what she has at home and has to handle, and still makes these really cool, funky, weird creations. Like, she's done in the book, her piece, her tutorial is actually an orange that's being peeled, and oh, he's very upset about it. It's really cool. She pitched that. She says, I'm not sure if this is okay or if this is what you want. I'm like, absolutely. Are you joking me? It's fantastic. So she goes into great detail and all the teeth and everything, the inside of the mouth and stuff. It's very funny.
It's amazing.
I love it. I love about the book. It's just so quirky. Everything's just a little bit out there, you know. It's a bit of fun.
Yeah, but that's what I like. I mean, I look at the wedding cakes when I go to Cake International. I'm like, yep, that's a nice wedding cake. Where are the weird ones? Bring on the weirdness. I want the weirdness.
I suppose that's why I'm not really into the wedding cakes as well. I can appreciate them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I wish I had more interest in the flowers and stuff, because I know the work that goes into them.
Oh, yeah.
And the very first year that the very first competition I did was in Galway. I was just a small one, but I won best in show. I was like, oh my God, this is incredible. And then I found out that there was another one in Dublin. So I signed up for that one. That was my first like real huge, where I finally realized that there, oh my God, there's a bubble of this circle of people who are just mad into cakes that I never knew were there before. So I entered two competitions. One was the sculpted category and the other one was cottage flowers, I think it was. And so first off, I parked the car and I brought in my one sculpted cake, right? And I'm looking around, I'm like really nervous. I thought it was massive and it turns out it's like a quarter of the size of any of the other ones that I was competing against. And then I ended up getting disqualified for that one actually because of wire. So that's my one fear in all competitions. That's my only goal, is I just don't want to get disqualified. And once that's fine, then I don't care. But as I was looking around, I was looking at all the flowers. I was like, oh my God. Needless to say, the flowers that I had made stayed in the boot of my car and I didn't take them out. So there was no way that I was putting them up against all the rest of them. So I'm not like, I can make a flower, but not to that level. Oh my God, they're incredible. So I can appreciate them, but I still would walk fairly quickly past that category in the competition, you know.
Yeah.
I just don't have the appreciation that some of those people do.
Yeah, and to me, I'm a modeler. I like sculpting. I don't actually get an opportunity to do a lot of sculpting cakes, but I like, my new thing here is miniature modeling, because it just fits better in my tiny British kitchen and for traveling with it. But I like doing figures. I really like, I'm passionate about figures that look like they're doing something instead of having a dead eye look.
Me too.
You know, but like the joke is, this is how nerdy I am. The first plant I ever made on a cake was Audrey 2 from Little Shop of Horrors.
I did Audrey as well.
So what you've seen, because you've seen my avatar, is Marvin. Marvin is standing this like a couple inches away from Audrey 2. That was my 2010 Austin show cake that had like 50 something sci-fi figures on it. And so Marvin's standing there thinking about ordering popcorn from one of the men in black, and Audrey 2 standing to the side, and there's a shoe in front of him implying that Audrey's already had his snack. So his, her, I don't know. Audrey's not gendered, but yeah. So like people would talk about making flowers and stuff. I'm like, no, I just made Audrey 2. Like it was actually at Cake International in 2014 was the first time I ever actually took a ball tool to make a frilled edge petal, because someone was doing a hands-on demo. I just hadn't got around to it. I intellectually knew about wire and wrapping and dusting and petals and drying them. And I knew that was a thing, but I had not done that. I've only done it a couple of times now and never on a cake, just as a demo project. Like when someone's doing a demo, it's like, okay, this is how we do this. Wow, this is, no, can you give me some fun? And I need to model something now.
Yeah. No, I've done flowers and I've done the wedding cakes, and I'm able. It's not to the standard that everybody does, but you know, they still look like a flower. So that's about all the requirements I have.
I've been very clear with people around here that, like, if you really want to order a cake from me and you really want a flower on it, okay, but it's probably going to be that easiest rose cutter from FMM. Like, I just, like, it's going to be an identifiable flower-like thing, but it's not. I say right on my how to order a cake from me page, there are so many skilled flower artists around. Call one of them. Do not even come to me, because I'm not making that for you. That's not, I don't even have all the stuff. I don't have the expertise. I have some wire, but I don't have, like, I use my wire for figures. I have florist tape because I used to do beaded flowers. I don't even have it for this stuff because it's just not ever what I'm going to do. But yeah, I respect it. And that's part of why I'm not going to do it, because I'm not going to do it badly.
I use florist tape for my structures sometimes. If it's using the thinner wire, I join them together. Do you not do that? No. How do you join your wires together?
Like, if I was doing an armature where I would just cut bigger wire, because I try and buy it by the spool, but then they have to straighten it. But like, it depends on what I'm doing. I would probably, like, if it was going to be the thing where I was going to cover the whole thing with foil anyway, then I'd probably just use regular tape and then, you know,
That's true.
I'd wrap foil around it, and I'd use my pliers to squish the foil so it's getting right into those loops of wire. And then for, like, the last couple of years, I haven't even actually used that much wire, to be honest, because I've been experimenting more with 100% edibility, which I have learned now that Cake International doesn't care about. They care about the precision on the outside less than what you did on the inside, as long as whatever you did on the inside is not breaking the rule. So, whereas, like, Austin judges will give you more points if you've written down 100% edible. So, so I work now.
Well,
like,
that's understandable.
Well, again, like, and this keeps coming up, that different shows have different cultures and what they want, and different judges what they expect, and what, you know, what gets a judge excited in one show, another judge somewhere else is like, I don't really care about that. So you need to know what's what. So I've changed my mind 3 times about what I'm going to make for CI this year, but whatever I'm making, it's going to be either in the small decorative or the, you know, the bigger decorative, like the thing where you're allowed to put structure inside. Right. And either way, it's having full wire armature. It's having a, you know, transportable, you know, secure thing, because I didn't get any points really for the year that I went 100% edible. Everything above the board was edible. It didn't, the judges were like, interesting, but meh. So,
it's like, well, that was worth it.
Well, and I had in the past also used, you know, going for 100% edible, using spaghetti as, like, inside, because spaghetti and modeling chocolate works really well. It doesn't work so well in wet fondant, but it works really well in modeling chocolate because it doesn't absorb the moisture. But now that they have a complete ban on all pasta, which I'm not happy, I wasn't even going to use any, but now I'm just I don't like this full ban on pasta.
Why is there a full ban? I don't understand. Why is there a full ban on pasta?
I haven't been able to get a straight answer. It's the sort of lighthearted answers being tossed around on Facebook are, we're trying to challenge you to do other things. And I'm like, but that's really capricious and arbitrary. And I have to tell you, like, I've been tempted with, I keep telling my husband, Corin, this, that I'm really tempted to do an entry, a real, you know, flip the bird type entry of like a board just of pasta shapes, but made out of gum paste. Like, but I'm not going to, because that is unnecessarily snarky and not very professional. So I'm not going to do it, but I really want to, because
it's funny though.
Like it's so capricious and arbitrary that I put vermicelli hair on my first Cake International thing in 2014. And they liked it and they said, well, that's really clever. And then the next year, Dawn Butler won one of the Cake International, I think it was like the London one. She won best in show with her Einstein that had vermicelli hair. And I know last year, Molly Robbins did that that amazing baby orangutan, and it had vermicelli hair. And now they're all of a sudden like, nope, you're not allowed to use it. What? Why?
Really?
Yeah.
Is that for CI or?
Yeah, it's in the rules at CI. It's mentioned in specific categories, and then in their whole section of these rules apply to all categories. Absolutely no pasta whatsoever, inside or out.
They're just worried that everybody's going to be doing it now.
Right. Well, I mean, because like, someone said to me, oh, well, because it's not pleasant to bite into a thing that's, you know, covered in vermicelli. I'm like, nobody bites into these cakes. Like, no, nobody's biting into that orangutan.
Use your imagination. Use your imagination.
Well, and also, when you serve a fondant cake, how often do people peel off the fondant anyway? Right?
Oh, it's even my I know it's like a cupcake wrapper. I don't eat it myself.
Yeah.
Kids love it, but even my now 6-year-old son, when he saw me making the cake, he knows I'm, because they love eating the scraps of whatever I'm making, and he knows. He says, oh, you can't eat a cake that has wire in it. He's like 5 years old. I'm like, that's right. And he saw me making the structure for his own birthday cake, and he saw the wire and stuff. And he's like, but Mom, this is my birthday cake. Are we not going to be able to eat it? I'm like, no, it's okay. I'm making it food safe. Like, I've got cake boards and stuff on the arms. He can't eat the arms and the legs, but the rest of it you can eat, you know. But even my 5-year-old son, I always have to laugh at him saying, there's a wire in the cake. You can't eat it.
Well, this is the thing. All the arguments against pasta I could make equally against wire, and they're not going to ban wire, are they?
Well, those are the non-edible categories, I suppose.
Right, but like all these shows, they contort themselves to find ways to make the wire allowed, because obviously it's necessary for the flowers. But why can't someone use pasta in a figure? Why can't someone use it?
I find that a bit strange.
Yeah, I mean,
especially if it's for structure, that's, you know, it's interesting, and not on the exterior of the cake.
Yeah,
But I like a challenge, though.
Yeah, the rules are what they are, so I'm not going to put any. But that means that I'm going to wire everything. So, like, okay then.
Yeah.
In the middle of a big project right now? Are you at that dreaded point halfway along where everything looks all weird and the faces aren't quite human and the animals look like the wrong species, or you haven't covered up the seams, or there's some other part that, because it's not done yet, just looks wrong? Are you exhausted and asking yourself why? Why are you even engaged in this art form? Because you just want to go do something else, but this project is making you hate sugar? Well, remember, we've all been there. Everyone in this industry has been where you are right now, and we will all be there again. The midpoint of any project stinks. You've put in so much time and so much work, but still have so far to go. And there are a dozen other things you'd rather do right now. We all understand. But come on now. We also know how awesome you're going to feel at the end of this thing. Whatever you're making is going to be amazing. You are going to put that last piece on and stand back and be so happy with what you've accomplished. Because yeah, it's hard, but that's what makes it worthwhile in the end. So take a break if you need to, but keep on going, because you rock. You are awesome. You are an artist, and this is your latest masterpiece. Woohoo! You go! You do it! You keep slogging through it, and we are all cheering you on! Yeah!
Decorative will be the popular ones anyway.
Yeah,
sure.
I thought I knew what I wanted to make, and then another idea popped in my head, and I don't have time to do two. I just don't.
I always end up signing up for two, trying to do two, but realistically, it's down to one. But
yeah,
we'll see what I can do. I have kind of the summer free, but I say that in quotation marks because I have my kids at home with me, so
yeah,
limited amount of time that they'll allow me to spend on anything. But yeah, Cake International, I'm actually going to be in, they have that live competition.
Right.
And I'm in, the Cake Off 2018.
That's
so
cool.
This will be interesting.
I was just talking to Rhee, obviously, that they won last year's. So I'm going to be
that's right.
Watching you then this time.
Yeah. No, you're doing it all wrong.
No, I'm going to be sitting there taking pictures with my microphone because I already got my press pass.
So I legit
can record.
I saw that. Yeah.
And we'll see. If you won, can I come interview at the end?
Oh, of course.
Or even if you don't win. or if you don't win and you want to cry.
Out of all the teams, though, I do have to say that we have the best name, the team name.
What
out
is
of
it?
Everybody. Because there's the Sugar Tears.
Oh.
Okay, that's fine. The Ice Girls. Whatever. The Pasta Models. Mm-hmm. And we are the Whisk Takers.
Oh.
Good. We even have a logo and everything. I just did up.
That is
I have to give
awesome.
Credit where credit's due, though. I didn't come up with a name. That was Tanya, my friend Tanya Ross. She's the queen of puns. She's great for stuff like that.
Tanya made my day.
So, but yeah, she made your day.
Well, I was gonna say at the Cake Masters Awards, because because it's obvious they keep emphasizing how it's strict black tie, but I have so many foot problems, I have to wear my gnarly boots all the time, or like I'm gonna be in agony limping. And so I'd emailed them. I'd said, look, my choice is my boots or a wheelchair. I know that it's going to be fugly, but under my dress, can I have, I mean, and my dress doesn't go all the way to the floor. Can I be wearing these boots? And they said, sure, of course, don't worry about it. But then I get there and I was getting stink eye from like people, I'm not going to name names, big people, big famous cake celebrities.
At the awards,
like beforehand, like as we were all waiting to go in, a couple people in particular gave me some really, really unpleasant glares. And so I was feeling really self. I was feeling super self-conscious. But then Tanya had her giant boots on that everyone was autographing, and I was like, "Oh,
yeah,
you just made it cool. Thank you so much."
Yeah. No, I don't know. I think there's like half of the cake world are big into the heels, and the other half are just absolutely not. I'd be part of that one. I have to wear flats. I can't wear heels. I look like I'm like a drunk 14-year-old wearing heels. I can't do it. No.
Yeah, like I physically can't get, my foot doesn't point downward, so I can't even wear heels. But even if I wore flats, because then I wouldn't have the support that I need, I'd be in agony. So.
Yeah. No, I'm not even going to go there at all. I'm not even going to try. No, heels are out. Can't do it. I'm all about my cons.
Yeah.
Huh?
Are you going to go to the awards? They just announced the ticket thingy last night.
Yeah, I definitely am. Yeah, we're on a table there. It's full up at the moment. We wanted to get Kylie Mangles a seat with us, but we have to put her on to another one because we're full. But I'm looking forward to it. Like, to be honest, I suffer serious FOMO.
Right.
You know, fear of missing out.
Mm-hmm.
That no matter what they charge, I think I'd pay it. And please don't listen to this, Rosie, because we're already paying enough. But it's like, seriously, I'd pay anything just to go to it. It's a bit daft. But yeah, the new venue should be interesting this year as well.
Yeah. And I'm staying at the Hilton.
So while I have this here. Vote for my book. How about that?
Oh, yeah.
Whenever the voting comes out. Yeah. Sure, squeaky wheel and all that, right?
Yeah. Once the voting's come out, drop me Facebook voicemail.
Yeah.
And we'll put that on.
Yes. Yeah.
Because all these deadlines are suddenly charging at us. I mean, literally last night, I'm just promoting the podcast. I'm going through my groups, and then a Facebook message comes up that says, Cake Masters Awards 2018 has posted something. I'm like, oh, please don't be the tables and tickets. And please not now. Please not. Oh, God, it is. And I look and I've got the email and I'm like, I don't know where I'm sitting. I haven't organized anything. But Claire Potts was on the thread already. She's now organizing a table that I'm on. And if Kyla comes out, Kyla will be on that table too. And, you know, good. Someone else is doing it and I'll sit with at least a couple people I know.
Yeah, that's all you need.
Yeah.
Need your security blanket, then you're good. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm the same. But I always kind of stay with the same crew. I've got my posse with Paul and Tanya. We were with Ruth Rickey that year that she won. Oh, my God, that was just brilliant. I was sitting across from her, and she was like, oh, I know that person, when they were talking about her. I know that one as well, because that's what Ruth sounds like. And they were like, oh, my God. And all of us take our camera, our phones out and start recording her. Like, and she was just, like, bawling. And we were bawling. Everybody's bawling. And then the famous speech was great. Yeah. I love Ruth. She's awesome.
Yeah, she is amazing. I need to get her on, but she's way busy all the time. She never sits down.
I know.
She's too busy swimming and
literally,
cycling.
She sits down on her bike.
That's right. I should tell her once, okay, we're going to do an interview on one of your long bike things. Just put on a GoPro and we'll do that.
Yeah, just,
that's what everyone wants to hear while they're decorating.
She's actually on the bike.
While she's swimming. Oh, yeah.
Electrocuted by the... Yeah.
Okay. This is getting more terrifying by the minute. Poor Ruth. Oh, I don't know if she listens. I know, so this is the thing when you're saying, "Oh, Rosie listening or Avalon listening." I actually really, unless people comment, I don't know who's listening. Like I know there are these 200 some odd downloads going by the SoundCloud stats, but I have no idea.
There's always those lurkers, you know. They don't like to comment, but they just look.
Yeah.
And listen.
And so I know obviously when people share it, like whenever anyone's on and they share it, it's fairly frequent their friends listen. But I don't know if they then continue to listen, because very few people actually, I get some feedback. There are two or three fans that I get feedback from routinely, and to the point of there's one who, when I was sick and I posted, guys, I'm so sorry, I'm just going to have to delay this by a week because I'm so sick. She was on the group saying, oh, I hope you feel better, and I really miss my podcast, but your health is important. And that was super nice and really rewarding. And so, like, when people say these things, like, it makes my day when people are supportive, but it's
I know,
really
some
rare.
Response.
Yeah. Well, so that, you yeah. know, what? You need to pitch for reviews for your books too.
Yes. Yeah. So I've been sending them out, right? Basically just sending them out in hopes that possibly we'll get a review. Rob gave a fantastic review from the start. I sent him a sneaky copy earlier on, and that was awesome. Yeah, so we need to. That's where I'm at right now. Is where I'm just kind of promo it as best as I can. And
right, but readers need to review
it, and it all in at the same time.
Yeah, readers
What's
need
that?
To review it. You need to get your readers to review it, because a huge factor
oh,
in
yeah.
sales on Amazon is Amazon reviews, and you don't want people to just say, I love her, so I bought her book, because that's actually not a useful review. You want people to post a review that says something meaningful, but I really love this because it taught me this. And even a 4-star review
yeah.
is still gold, because a 4-star review looks like that's just not you astroturfing. That's a real review. You want, yeah. So
yeah, I know.
Yeah. So I promise when I'm going to buy it, and I will review it, because I know how important that is on
yeah, very
Amazon.
Much so. Yeah.
And
we had a fantastic review. Somebody actually bought it in Dublin. She doesn't know any of us that are in the book, but she just wanted to support, you know, local artists or whatever. So she bought the book. But she then went through the book and went, oh, my God, this is actually fantastic. And on top of just being proud of having something Irish, she actually gave the review, and I can't remember what she said, but it was just it was like, I have no affiliation to anybody in the book. I bought it just to support, but I am flabbergasted at the fact that this is actually one of the best books that I've actually bought, and it was just brilliant. I was like, mere tears, very emotional. This is my little baby, you know. We put a lot of effort and work into this to make this as professional and well put together and thought out. Like, I didn't just slap this together. I had a proofreader also go through absolutely everything.
That's important.
Come back to me. I'd pester everybody else. And then on top of that, we had an editor who's actually my cousin's wife out in Ottawa in Canada. Everything went through her then as well. So everything went through about 5 different sets of eyes. And so it's all really, really good. But we've even got the recipes as well, which I have my doppelganger. Really, this is a story here for you. So I got a phone call a good few years ago where a woman was trying to buy my domain, right? She was wondering if I was still using it. I think I just had my son. And so I wasn't really making cakes or doing anything at the time. I was just at home with the baby. But she ends up saying, my name, this is going to sound weird, but my name is also Karina. And I also have a business called Lovin' from the Oven. She says, yeah, and I want to buy your domain so that I can use it. I'm like, oh, well, I don't know about the domain. I don't think I'm ready to leave the business yet or anything. But this is really weird. And she says, I know I spell my name differently, but I am Karina, and I'm in Dublin. I have a company called Love and From the Oven. I'm like, how is this even possible? This is insane. And she says, yeah, and it's actually strange because I looked at the date that you registered your business, and it was done the day before me. Literally the day before her, on the same year, I came out and made Love and From the Oven. And then the next day she did the same thing. And then on top of that, I was talking to her. I'm like, where is your accent from? I don't know. It's very strange. Where are you from? And she says, oh, sorry, I'm Canadian. I'm like, shut up. So you are Karina with Love and From the Oven. You're also Canadian living in Ireland with this business. It's like insane. So, but anyway, it sounded like a hoax, but I've met her loads of times. She's lovely. And she now has a cafe in Dublin, not called Love and From the Oven, but called Camarino's Bakery. And so she actually, we got her involved as well. And she did all the recipes in the book, except for the cookies and some other ones. But yeah, she did most of the cake recipes. But isn't that insane?
That is. Like, I was waiting for you to get to the point where, and then it turned out to be a total fraud. Like, I was waiting for
that. No, I know.
Wow.
I we organized meet like a few weeks later when I was in Dublin, because it just sounded like a total hoax. Like, but it, you know, she's, and part of me was kind of hoping that, you know, she was a total, but she's actually really lovely, and she's won loads of awards for her cakes. And it's like, if you're actually in Dublin, stop by there. It's on Capel Street, and it's really, really good. Cameroonian bakery. You'll see it with all the flowers up front, but it's just beautiful. Really, really good. So yeah, she got involved and did her, and with each person that contributed to the book, what we did is we actually got, I wanted backstories. I wanted, you know, like, how did you get into this? What is it like where you live? And I wanted each person to take a picture in their locality of some kind of area near them. So I did the long walk in Galway, you know, like that's in all the songs and stuff. But yeah, Karina did outside of her shop front and stuff, but she gave the whole story of how we met and all that in her little blurb, which I thought was fantastic. So it's all kind of a bit more personal, and, you know, the origins of and where they're from and what it's like where they live and all the rest. So it's brings a bit more of Ireland into it as well, because everybody's kind of from all over the place, which is nice. I liked it anyway.
That is amazing. I mean, again, I write fiction. I write feminist romance because I'm interested in romantic things, wink, 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 but I am really offended by grossness. So I know I'm very niche, and that's fine. But even when I was with a publisher, and now, like I said, I've gone indie since, but all my books are still properly published and properly edited. It's not me. I don't hammer on a keyboard and throw it on the internet. Right. So I've been doing this for a long time. Since God, I can't remember when my first book came out, 2000, 2001, something like that. A long time ago, at least in internet time. And all of a sudden, like, so I've had the domain KimberlyChapman.com since, well, at least since 2000, for a long time. And all of a sudden, someone was upset at me because they read a book of mine and didn't like it, but they were describing it. I'm like, that doesn't sound like my book. And it turned out there was another Kimberly Chapman writing romance. And she had the domain KimberlyChapmanRomanceWriter.com, which I think now is I think when I checked a few years ago, she seems to have stopped. But then on Goodreads, people are, like, apparently people don't like her book. And I haven't read it, so I don't want to be mean. But, like, people get mad at me for her book. And so, and it was dragging down my Goodreads author rating. So
you'll have to read that. You'll have to get it and read it. You can't just not know.
Yeah, well, in all that free time I have, yeah. But every once in a while I have to go into Goodreads and remind them yet again, this book is not my book, even though it's got my name on it. And we're spelling it the same. Like, here in England, everyone wants to spell my name L-E-Y instead of L-Y. So at least if her name was L-E-Y, then it would be clearly distinct, but it's not. That's my doppelganger, but at least, I mean, I've never communicated with her, and she's never tried to take my domain or anything like that, but yeah, it's weird
that
how this
would kill me. I couldn't not contact. I'd have to actually contact and say, hey.
Well, I was afraid to, because I was afraid, you know, like, I just didn't want it to turn out to be something where she would then get aggressive or weird. I think when I found out about her, I think I may have just had Peo, and so I was in that tired space of, again, a little baby, and I I can't deal with the drama, so I kind of never have. And then when I thought about it, her again a couple years ago, and I looked, her domain was 404, and yeah. So, but like as recently as last year, I had to take her book off my Goodreads list again because people I think are helping. They think they're helping by adding it to my list, and it's like, no, this is not helping me. This is hurting me.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's funny.
There's also when I lived in Las Vegas, there's a Kimberly Chapman who teaches stripping classes. So there's that.
That's a good one to relate. That's all right. If it makes you up, that's okay. Actually, with Karina one time, Karina, I made a watch cake, right, for a guy around the corner. And I was getting loads of comments. And I noticed this guy, somebody Camerino, was like, oh, that's brilliant. I'm so proud of you, girl. But it was actually the other Karina's dad. And he thought that she had made the cake. Well, that's funny. That's so proud of you, girl.
Yeah. Well, thank you, right. But...
I'll take it.
That's right.
I don't mind.
Praise is good. Praise is good. No, I'll tell you right now, no one's going to praise me on, you know, stripping. That's not a thing anyone's going to be happy about.
You never know.
Oh, sure. Yeah, maybe my husband.
Maybe you can take a cut of her tips or something.
Oh, it's Las Vegas. She's not getting, well, I mean, she's getting tips if she's at the right place, but lots of people are so cheap and rude in Las Vegas. Oh, my God.
Share of the chips, maybe.
That's right. Yeah, share of the chips. Oh, my God. But, like, it was, because you know how, like, when you've started a thing, like, you started a blog or written a book or whatever, you Google it constantly because you want to see how it comes up. And I would Google myself and keep getting all these things about stripping and pole dancing. And I'm like, that is really 100% not me.
You'll have to change her head for yours and throw it up somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know if there was ever actually any photos of her that I saw, but there were definitely, like, there were press things about, well, because not stripping, sorry, it's exotic dancing. But, yeah, I mean, if I danced right now in my kitchen, let me make it clear, it would be exotic, but not of the right kind. Because like, I don't dance. I don't really move. I have a permanently injured foot. Like, if I dance, it's like, ugh, whatever.
For a year, actually, I was a student teacher down there, but yeah, I used to salsa dance. Oh, so much fun! But yeah, no, I've lost all the hips, I'm afraid now, or rather, I've gained all the hips.
Rather. When I had a new doctor here in town, and I didn't tell them what I do because I know because I'm diabetic and I've already got issues, and they're, you know, being the judgy people that they are, you know, oh, you need to eat less. And I'm like, well, I don't eat enough. Well, you need to eat more. Oh my God, please stop. I just put a whole Facebook post about the nurse and how I had all this conflicting, you know, do this, but I can't. Well, then do this other thing anyway. I'm like, oh God, please stop. But so like when they finally ask what I do and I say that, you know, I'm a cake decorator, they give you this look as if all you do is shove cake into your gob all day. It's like, no.
To be honest though, when I make carved cakes, That is what I do.
Well, you popped up in your video.
All the offcuts, and you're working hard. You skip lunch. You start shoving it into your face. That's why I threw that in the video there.
It was so cute.
For the...
I laughed.
But it's the truth for me.
Well, I mean, like, but okay. So if I was making a giant cake normally, and I was carving it, I would normally have a bite of it because, frankly, I need to check that it's okay.
Yeah, quality control.
But I'm not eating piles of it because then I'll feel sick. So this constant assumption that just because there's cake in the house that the cake's going in my face, it's like, no, this cake is going to someone else. This cake is going to an event. This cake, or how often my cakes are like not cakes. They're sugar structures on wire. Definitely not licking my fingers after using expired fondant. Like,
that's... You can't eat cake with wire in it.
Oh, that's going to have to be the clip that I use at the end of the show. I don't know if any of the listeners have noticed, but I take a funny bit that amuses me somewhere in the show, and I stick it on the end right after the credits, kind of like a little bonus to anyone who bothers to listen all the way through. I have no idea if anyone's even noticed, but yeah, I'm going to have to pull that one.
That's funny.
Our kids do learn the weirdest thing about cake, don't they? Like, it was little baby Robin's superpower. She would not talk. The only word she said was cake. And she would point at like my big structures that don't look like cake, like, you know, on the styrofoam or whatever, she'd say, point it and say cake. And she would look at my magazines and like the big sculpted cakes where normal people would be like, that's not a cake. She'd point at it and go, cake. And she was right all the time. Because
everybody who's talking to my kids, they're like, oh, your mom's a cake decorator. Oh, that's great. So you must eat cake all the time. You must like, do you help her in the kitchen? And they're like, no, health and safety.
Yep.
Like, good on ya. There you go. And they know well if they have to sneeze, if they touch their anything. Well, let me finish that sentence. Sorry. If they touch anything, they have to go wash their hands. You know. So they know well. They're learning the proper way.
Yeah. And Robin has to have her hair tied up. Robin doesn't like wearing a ponytail. She only wants to wear a headband right now. But even when she was helping on her own birthday cake. And all she was doing was cutting little dots that I was then lifting over the cake. So she wasn't even anywhere near the cake, but I made her tie her hair back. Her school is making her tie her hair back. So she insists on wearing the headband anyway over the hair. So that's why I was posting recently like, huh, is there anyone in the cake world we can think of who's known for wearing an unnecessary headband?
That's cute. But my daughter's actually, she's competed twice, actually.
Oh, that's cool.
In Ireland this year and last. Yeah.
So I remember you posting
two
it.
Times now.
Yeah, I remember you posting. That was awesome. Huh? Yeah.
Yeah. She loves it. She loves it. She's the artsy fartsy one. I don't know. I think my son might be as well, unfortunately, to my husband's demise. he was hoping for an engineer in the family. I don't know. We'll have to wait for that one and see.
What we do is engineering. Especially with structure. That is engineering.
That's true. That's right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, I think that when you hear about people having consistent, I mean, we've all had failures. We've all had stuff go wrong, largely because we've skipped a step. Oh, no. We usually know why something's gone wrong. But when people have things, like when people say to me, I can never make a structure, I can never do this, I usually then find out they're also the person who says, I hate math. I never want to use math. And I don't like science and I don't like math. It's like, well, physics believes in you whether you believe in it or not. If you need to know physics to think about, like, I was again noting your dash cake that you had the foot at the back corner of the board because you're using physics of the weight of the board to hold that up on that angle.
Failed physics, and who knew? I knew it all along.
Yeah, there you go.
I think that's just common sense more than anything.
Well, but I think it's less common.
I never had a math head, chemistry, physics. I was always terrible at all those ones.
But you've retained enough that you know, like, it's not that we as cakers need to know what's the formula, what's the parabola, again, I'm married to a mathematician, so these terms are fluting around our house all the time. But, like, it's not that you need to know exactly why this works, but when you've got that, at least in your head at some level, that mathematical engineering concept that you know, well, I have to support this with weight, that I can go really tall, but then the base has to be wider or it's going to tip. I need something that's going to support the weight at this level. That is engineering.
SMRT. I am the smart.
We make Simpsons jokes all the time in this house, and my 12-year-old hasn't watched enough of it to know. She's just watching. She's gone through Doctor Who, and we're halfway through Star Trek TNG. So she's finally getting those references. She finally saw Galaxy Quest, so she understands why we talk about I have one job on this ship. But so she's getting those references, but because she hasn't watched The Simpsons when we do the SMRT dance or the various other Simpsons references, dental plan, she has no idea what's going on. We're such a nerdy household. But
so I'm going to probably have to head.
Well, just as long as you've mentioned everything you wanted to mention.
I think so. I said the live competition, the cake retreat, the Incredibles book.
And well, I'll make sure the show notes have all the links for you. Like, okay, when is the cake retreat?
The cake retreat last year was so successful. They've done another one. We've even got like people coming back. There's one from Saudi Arabia. There's a couple of people from Canada. A couple of people from the States already coming in. So they only take up to 10, I believe, 10 people.
Okay.
So it's kind of first come, first serve and all the rest. But if you are interested, not you yourself, unless you are interested, you're more than welcome, Kim.
I mean, I'd love to with all that money.
Yeah. It's good fun, actually. I have to say, it's, the crack in the houses are just brilliant because you get these little cottages, and some of them are communal, some of them are separate, and it's just great crack, and everybody just kind of bonds over the weekend. But anyway, it is April 11th until the 14th. You can find it on Facebook, and you can book it through Emma Stewart herself. And it's great crack. I'm going to be teaching a 2-day class, and Emma Stewart is also going to be teaching a 2-day class as well. So it's going to be a little bit different from last year, where last year it was kind of all components of building a wedding cake, whereas this year is going to be, I'm going to be doing like a carved structured cake, and Emma's going to be doing lots of like royal icing and other bits and bobs, and doing her shtick. So you get loads of different components all in the one weekend. So it's a bit of everything, which is excellent. And it should be lots of fun. So yeah, April 11th until the 14th, the cake retreat. And it's up in Caledon Cake Studio. And it's great crack. So
that sounds awesome.
That's that.
And only 10 spots, so people better grab them.
Yes, and there's definitely nowhere near 10 spots left as well. I'm not sure how many's left, but I know that a woman who took it last year from Saudi Arabia, she's gone back to it. A woman from the States who took it last year has gone back to it. And there are 2 people from Canada who are flying out for it as well. So it's going fast, so get in there.
Cool, so I'll post the link for that. We'll post the link for the book. I will be buying the book. It's not going to be today because I still, as soon as I finish this, I have to go do my Women's Institute newsletter because that was due last night, and apparently I haven't done that. And then this weekend, Robin's starting tap dancing, and I'm doing like a volunteer cake thing on Saturday afternoon. But Sunday, I'm buying your book. And I'll put my Amazon cart tonight because I have to order a birthday gift for the following weekend. So I'll put it in my Amazon cart tonight. It won't arrive by Sunday.
Okay.
But then it'll arrive next week. I'm going to look at your book next week, and I promise I'm going to post a review on Amazon. I promise.
Do. That'll be awesome. Thank you so much.
Cool. Well, thank you for being on.
Great. Lovely chatting with you.
And I will see you.
Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah. And I will see you at Cake International, if not before.
Absolutely.
All right. Have a great day.
We'll chat to you soon.
Thanks.
Okay, bye, Kim.
Bye. Just a quick announcement that I'm taking the next episode off to catch up on some household stuff and volunteer baking work, but I'll be back later this summer with a bunch of great guests already lined up. Check out the list at eat-the-evidence.com/podcast under the future episodes heading to see who's coming up. And to all of my friends and fellow sugar artists around the world enduring ever more turmoil in their lives lately, remember that you're not alone. We stand best when we stand together against the darkness. So until next time, good night and good luck. This has been the Eat the Evidence podcast. A warm thanks to all of my contributors, and you can find out more about them and the things discussed on today's episode in the show notes by visiting the podcast section of the Eat the Evidence website, eat-the-evidence.com/podcast. There, you'll find social media links, as well as links to iTunes, Stitcher, and other places where you can subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. I've also posted detailed instructions on how to leave me a Facebook voicemail message and other options to call into the show. Please do feel free at any time to call in your very own cake formation, funny story, talk about a challenge you're having or have recently overcome, or rant about something driving you crazy. And if you like the show, please post a review on iTunes and share it with all of your sugar artist friends. This show was produced and edited by me, Kimberly Chapman. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, you are an amazing artist, and everyone involved with this podcast supports you. You can do it!
Until next time, bye-bye, and good luck with whatever you're working on.
You can't eat cake with wire in it.